Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday afternoon, heading into the weekend, and we don't have a storm to worry about like we did last week at this time, so I hope you've got a nice weekend planned. You know, I guess this is a question. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot over much of the country. New York, Philadelphia, D.C., Boston, the Northeast, over towards Chicago, the Midwest. It is going to be sweltering. And they're not used to it being as hot as it's going to be. Record heat is expected. And it's going to be hot here this weekend. Chance of a few showers to maybe cool things off. We had a few showers around here this afternoon. That does kind of cool things off a little bit. But it's going to be a hot weekend. And I don't know about you, but weekends like this, what I do is I really just try to go out of my way to figure out something to do indoors. I want to do something inside. I want to stay by an air conditioning. And you know, when you walk around, like when you walk through the quarter and you go by the shops, it's so nice to just slow down a little bit because you get that breath of air conditioning pumping out of the place. It gives you a break of walking down the street. So the Rat Pack is back. This is a tribute to the Rat Pack. This is the song that was used in the opening of the movie Swingers with Jon Favreau and Vince Vaughn. I mean, they're just such a classic movie. I'm going to have to watch that this weekend. You're money and you don't even know it. Mikey, you're so money. Oh, so what? Some Las Vegas waitress is going to get some French philosophical reference? I mean, I might as well have just said, can I jump your ignorant bones? I mean... Love the movie. Anyway, Dean Martin sings this song. This is one of his big hits. The Rat Pack ruled Vegas back in the 50s and 60s. And so here's a show that's been going on for a while. It's a tribute. You know, they're tribute bands to Queen, tribute to Michael Jackson, tribute to a lot of different people. So there's a tribute to the Rat Pack. And the Rat Pack was, the core of the Rat Pack was Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin. And the Rat Pack is back is going to be in town tomorrow night, 7:30, at the Frederick Segura Center Theater in Chalmette. Drew Anthony joins us, and Drew is the Dean Martin in the group. Drew, welcome to our show.
Hey, pleasure to be here, Scoot.
Okay, so look, Drew, I've seen video, and you know, you do look like Dean Martin, and you personify Dean Martin on stage with the body language and the singing. Will you have a cigarette in your hand and a drink in your hand for most of the show tomorrow night?
I will, absolutely. That's part of the job. You know, yeah. I don't want to do it, but it's just part of the job.
Yeah. Now, do you actually drink, or are they mock drinks?
That depends. They're both.
Oh, okay. So you might...
Sometimes we mix it up.
Okay.
We mix it up a little bit.
Well, that's good. Because, look, I mean, if you did get a little tipsy, I mean, it seems like it would be easier to be Dean Martin.
Maybe not. You know, you have to act it. He was pretty cool on stage, so you can't really get too tipsy. Yeah. You know, you can get away with it. You can get away with tipsy, but you know, you got to play it. You got to play it cool and smart, and not too sloppy. Just tipsy enough.
So Drew, being the Dean Martin in the Rat Pack is back. Tell me what appreciation you have for the charisma of the Rat Pack, because I mean, they ruled when they were on top.
Yeah, that nothing compares to what, you know, what they would have been doing at that time in that great era in the country and in Las Vegas. But it's a lot of fun to portray these guys, and you know, with as much respect and accuracy as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Now, jokes would be part of it, because these guys, you know, during their shows, they told jokes. Are the jokes vintage Rat Pack, or are they updates of the jokes from the Rat Pack?
We have some vintage jokes in the show that still work, and we have some updated versions of things that you know, we throw in just mm-hmm. to kind of keep it interesting for the people, because a lot of people have heard these jokes before. Yeah. So we throw in some different stuff, but it's pretty accurate to the time period.
When you were first studying Dean Martin to be him in the Rat Pack Is Back, what was the most difficult aspect of Dean Martin's characteristics to pick up?
You know, probably the most difficult would be to never look like you're really working, never really look like you're really trying too hard and stuff like that, because... You know, he had a very easy way about him, and even if you're trying too hard, I kind of eased up on playing Dean Martin through the years, because if you were trying too hard, forcing it, it wouldn't be a good Dean Martin no matter what you're doing. So you're better off being Drew. A little at a time, you incorporate Dean in there.
You know, I think about the times that I would watch the show. I forget what night of the week it was on, but I you know, my parents watched it all the time. I think it might have been on at 9 o'clock, and I was usually still up, and I watched it with my parents. And you know, that was a good observation of Dean Martin, because he really looked like he was not working. It looked like it was just fun, and he would get up on Ken Lane's piano, and I don't know whether he really drank or they were just mock drinks, but he just came off as somebody who was just, hey, he was in your living room just, you know, singing songs and having a good time.
Right. The Dean Martin Show, yeah. I try to incorporate, you know, there's the Dean and Jerry years, of course, and there was the Dean with the Rat Pack years and the Dean television show. And everybody kind of remembers all of them, but mostly the Dean television show, because that was on TV. So I try to incorporate those three Deans in the Rat Pack, even though, you know, it wasn't really... The Dean television show was after Rat Pack.
So what's the format of the show? Do you all do something individually, and then do you come out together?
Basically, yes. Okay. I mean, that's what they did in the original. Mm-hmm. And in our show, we happen to start, we have an opening number we do together. And then they'll leave me on stage, and you'll have Dean. And then you'll have Sammy, and then Frank will come out, and then we'll all do some stuff together.
Yeah. Now... this was the core of the Rat Pack: Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Dean Martin. But Peter Lawford and Joey Bishop were also part of it. Peter Lawford, an actor, and Joey Bishop was an actor comedian. You didn't think about getting just some lookalikes to every once in a while just kind of be around the offstage area?
You know, the show has been going 20 years, and in the beginning, I've been doing it about 10. But in the beginning, they had a Joey Bishop, and now through the years, we left them out. We left Joey Bishop out. We just do it with the three guys.
But yeah, I get it.
We used to have a Joey.
I get it. All right, Drew, I'm looking forward to the show tomorrow night. The Rat Pack Is Back. It's at the Frederick Segur Theater in Chalmette. It should be a great show. Look forward to it. Have
7:30.
Fun.
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30.
7:30 p.m.
All right, tickets still available.
Course, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony, thanks
Scoot,
for...
it's
yeah,
a
go
pleasure.
Ahead. Okay, cool. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Take care.
All right. It's Free for All Friday, and one of the things that we talked about this week was, of course, the Rolling Stones concert, and then after that it was Michael Bublé, and now the Rat Pack Is Back coming up. This was the first song the Stones opened up with, because the storm made them postpone it. All right, it is Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I want to get to some of these texts about dating somebody that you worked with and how that worked out, because I've got some really good texts about that. And there's a survey out that shows that workplace romance is on the decline, and that's probably the smartest thing that could happen. And we've got that story on our website at WWL.com. We'll be back. Tomorrow is the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of man landing on the moon. And it was two Americans who landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And a lot of people forget about, was it Michael Collins? He's the one who stayed back in the ship. I mean, I guess at any point he could have taken off and left him there. So, I mean, they must love that guy. But anyway, this was just such a phenomenal thing 50 years ago. And it still goes down in history as one of the greatest of all time events of mankind. And I remember as a kid watching this with family friends in Gulfport, sitting on the floor of their living room. And I remember it being like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I really haven't checked that, but it was in the middle of the night. And I just was so fascinated with what was happening. I mean, I was a teenager. And I just, you know, because we didn't know how that was going to work. I mean, we didn't know about breaking away from the Earth's orbit and then hooking up with the orbit of the moon and all the math that went into to doing all of that. And then breaking away from the Apollo 11 space capsule and the lunar module landing on the moon. And then there was the other dramatic moment. What if they can't take off? I mean, we're watching this live, and we didn't know if they were going to be able to take off or not. I mean, if it all went as planned, they would be able to take off. They would jettison off the landing pad and hook up with the space capsule again, and it worked. But there was so much we didn't know. I mean, when they were coming down, landing on the moon, we didn't know. And there are some people today who still think that that was a conspiracy. I mean, the conspiracy is that we did not land on the moon. And it was mentioned this week on the show, the movie Capricorn 1 is a movie about it being a conspiracy where the United States and NASA, they went out into the desert in the West somewhere, maybe Arizona or someplace out West, and they found a place that could be maybe mistaken for the moon, and the whole thing was staged out there. I personally believe we landed on the moon. And even if you hate CNN, some of the CNN specials are really incredible. And the CNN special on Apollo 11 is amazing. I mean, with actual footage and the actual audio of them talking about everything that was going on, it was just amazing. And Apollo 11 worked fine, as you know. Apollo 13 didn't turn out so great. Ron Howard did the great movie Apollo 13, and there were problems there. And that was another moment when we were not sure that the astronauts were going to get back. And fortunately, they did. But it's just been interesting to talk this afternoon to some people who are younger, who were not witnessing it live, but it's still meaningful to them. And as you know, President Trump has talked about going back to the moon and then maybe even going to Mars after that. You know, I don't know. It would take so long to get to Mars. I don't know how that would how that would work out. But, you know, there does seem to be some question about whether or not we should go back to the moon. And I do remember the sense that once we landed on the moon, some of the romantic mystique of the moon disappeared because man walked on the moon. And while it was this incredible feat, and I was so proud of America for doing it, it did take a little bit of the mystique away from that. And boy, the shots from the moon, the shots of Earth, you know, we look at the moon from Earth, but looking at Earth from the moon, I mean, the Earth, you know, the moon is just this kind of dusty looking planet with some craters and mountains and stuff. The Earth is green and blue and just beautiful. So it was really quite a moment. And you'll hear more about this on the news tonight, and you'll hear more about this tomorrow. So it was just a great thing to remember, a very positive thing in our history. And it was President John F. Kennedy who said, we're going to land a man on the moon. And you know, people were not really sure how that would happen, but it did. And of course, the other part of being on the moon first was this was all happening during the Cold War with Russia. And there was a space race going on, and Russia beat us to space. And the idea that Russia beat us to space was frightening because we as a country felt like with nuclear weapons, they might be able to control the planet. I mean, we were concerned. And I remember as even a younger kid, when the Russians launched a satellite, I think one of the first satellites was Sputnik. And I remember I was visiting a relative in Ruston, Louisiana, and we went out to this field, and we knew what time, my dad coordinated all this, knew what time Sputnik was going to be coming over. And we all stared up in the sky, and it looked like this star that was just slowly moving across the sky. It was a Russian satellite. And the idea that the Russians were up there and could be watching us was scary AF during the Cold War. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We'll be right back on WWL. On our pop culture calendar, it was on this day, July the 19th, 1991, Former Guns N' Roses drummer Steve Adler filed a lawsuit against Guns N' Roses. Steve Adler claimed the other members forced him to do heroin and then made him quit the band while he was trying to quit his drug habit. Man, if they did that, that's low. I mean, that is low. Here, come on, Steve. Do some heroin. Okay, we're going to get you nice and... Oh, now that you're hooked, you're out of the band. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What, you think the other guys weren't doing this? I mean, I think it was Dennis Miller once in one of his stand-up comedy routines says, what in the hell would you have to do to get kicked out of Guns N' Roses? So, again, I don't know. There may have been some hypocrisy there. Here is an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. And the question is, will you cancel any outdoor plans because of the heat this weekend? 79% say no way. 21% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. A couple of texts about what we talked about last hour, which is this study that shows that fewer people are involved in workplace romances. This text says, I had a little fling with a younger woman at work years ago while I was married with two kids and wife was pregnant. Did not end well. Still with my wife. Just celebrated 16 years of marriage. Very, very fortunate she did not leave me. You know, that's a reminder of the consequences. I mean, here's somebody who's really fortunate that it worked out that way because they didn't have to work out that way. And look, I know you can be tempted. I get it. But, you know, quite often when people do these things, they never think they're going to get caught. I mean, nobody ever thinks they're going to get caught. And often the women who men cheat on are smarter than you think. And they find out. And it could really ruin your life. Here's a text that says, I hired my now wife to work for my company. She wanted to date, so she quit. Married with two kids for 11 years. Great story. From Ponchatoula, Paul, welcome to WWL.
Hey, man. Look, I just wanted to, you were talking about the moonshots. You know, I come from a time when everybody gathered around the TV to watch them. Mm-hmm. You know, I know. Yeah. You probably remember that.
I do.
But I was, you know, with all this moon stuff going on these days, I came across a copy of Richard Nixon's speech that he had a speechwriter to be used in case those guys got stuck on the moon and couldn't come back. And I'm telling you, it put chills down my spine just reading it.
You mean what the contingency plan was if they couldn't get back?
Yeah. And basically it was saying, hey, these guys sacrificed everything for, you know. But it just put chills down my spine. And you ought to pull it up and read it.
So you want to share with us? I mean, I kind of know a little bit, but I'd love to hear what you read about what the plan was if they didn't take off the moon.
Well, there was no plan.
Yeah.
But if they got stuck, they were there.
Was it a rumor that they had some kind of cyanide, or they had something to take that would cause them to die instantly, so they wouldn't suffer a slow death?
I never heard that. Yeah. I never heard that, but it would make sense, I guess. But I just want to say that if you hadn't had a chance to read that speech, it'll put chills down your spine. Wow.
Thanks for sharing that, Paul.
Okay.
And I guess in reading something like that, you realize how brave these Americans were. Here's a text that says, screw whatever happened to the New Orleans Yacht Pack. I mean, I think they're still going. I mean, I hired them to play at my son's wedding when he got married here a couple of years ago. Here is a text, Vegas, baby. Vegas. We're going to Vegas. Yeah. Another line from Swingers. Love that movie. Here is a text that says, Saw you on the other night. Saw you on the video screen the other night. I see. Saw a show on PBS. Astronauts were like rock stars. Hollywood actors were jealous of them. Man, they were. They were like rock stars. And when they selected the first seven astronauts, as a kid I was just infatuated. Because I was fascinated with flying. Infatuated flying. So I was, of course, infatuated with just the whole space travel thing. Here's a text that says, you look awesome for 64. Well, that's nice, except that I'm not 64. I might even be a little older than that. Here's a text. The Scoot, the first loon man, loon, the first moon landing occurred in the afternoon, Central Time Zone. No, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon in the early morning hours. Ian, would you check that for me? Yeah, I remember. Look, I mean, look, see, I was too young to be killing brain cells. So I had a pretty accurate memory, a pretty clear memory back then. You ask me stuff about, like, you know, some stuff in the 70s or some stuff in the mid-80s, I might not have an accurate memory of everything that happened then, because I was killing them off on a regular basis. So when was the moon landing? What time did Neil Armstrong step out on the moon? Finding out right now. Okay, 4:17 a.m. Oh, p.m. Okay, so they landed on the moon. Okay, so 6 hours later. So it was the middle of the night. Okay. 10:17 p.m. Okay, well, maybe it wasn't the middle. Well, I was young, so maybe at 10 o'clock, maybe I thought it was the middle of the night. I don't know. Yeah, I was confused as a kid. It's that whole OCD thing. You know, I didn't know what the hell was going on. Here's a text. Scoot, the Apollo astronauts had cyanide pills just in case. And that's from Dave from Gulf Shores. Dave, you're in paradise over there. That's what I'd heard. I'd heard that so they wouldn't suffer a slow death if they knew that they were not going to get back, and they knew that death was imminent at some point, that they had a pill to take that would kill them. That's what I remember hearing and reading. So this week on the show, I corrected something that I said on the show that was inaccurate. I said it from the Michael Bublé concert. Michael Bublé went out in the audience, went to the long end of the catwalk and the runway, and he just randomly picked somebody out of the audience to sing a duet with him. And he picks this beautiful young female, and, you know, Amanda Shaw was with me, and we're going, oh, my God, she's so good. This has got to be a plant. And I thought, oh, it's all rehearsed. And then, you know, and they did a joke together. It all seems so... Well, you know, I guess some people would have thought it was spontaneous, but it seemed like it might be planned. Well, Emily Louise Nelson was that girl. She called our show earlier. We talked to her in the first hour, and she set the record straight. It was not set up at all. And he just happened to pick her. He had seen her at a concert, another concert, another time. I guess saw her, thought she looked familiar, and she was a beautiful young female, and one hell of a voice. So I want to set the record straight. That was not set up. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Happy birthday today to Brian May of Queen. Brian May, 72 years old. And man, these baby boomer rockers continue to just mature, but Brian May is still performing with Queen. Adam Lambert is the lead singer of Queen. They're coming to New Orleans. So at some point, the city is going to have to stock up on its black mascara, because they'll need some extra mascara for Adam Lambert when he gets to town. A little heavy on the makeup, but, you know, what the hell. I mean, the guy's a talented singer. But, I mean, yeah, Brian May is still performing with Queen. I think he was part of the movie Bohemian Rhapsody as well. So it'll be great to see him. Earlier in the show, we talked to a guy named David Catching. And I met him last night at 80s Night in the Quarter. And somebody was telling me who he was. This is a guy who played with the Eagles of Death Metal. That was the band that was in Paris performing when the terrorist attack took place. And talking to him on the air a little while ago about that moment was just chilling. And I'm assuming that we've got that on demand, Ian. So you can go to our website, WWL.com, click on menu at the top, and click on Scoot, and go to my page, and it'd be on demand on the right-hand side. But really interesting conversation. Also, he was with the band Queens of the Stone Age, which I also mentioned was a band that Rick Springfield recently mentioned to me as one of the bands that he likes. It's kind of a current band, not a past retro band, but a current band. And David's in town because he's performing with two bands tonight at One Eye Jack's in the Quarter as part of Tale of the Cocktails. And he's got his own mezcal line out, and that's all part of that. So really interesting conversation with an interesting guy. So we've still got that in our archives. It was on this day in 1966, Frank Sinatra married Mia Farrow. Remember what a controversy that was? Frank Sinatra was 51. Mia Farrow was 21. So a little difference in age. Look, you know, sometimes difference in age is really exaggerated. Sometimes sometimes people might like somebody who are younger or older or whatever because they just like the person. It might not have anything to do with, you know, well, I want to be somebody's father, or I want to be the patriarchal figure in this young girl's life. You know, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just really that two people bond. And so, you know, it was controversial, but maybe that should not have been so controversial. Here is a text that says, July 19th, 1969, Apollo 11 orbited the moon on my father's 47th birthday. The next day, July 20th, the Eagle has landed. And Neil Armstrong took one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. And that was my 14th birthday. The next day was July 21st. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin blasted off the moon, which was my eldest brother's birthday, 20th birthday. And according to the Zodiac sign stuff, we're all three a child of the moon. Well, that's interesting. And we were talking about, you know, different sightings of the moon. And, you know, well, you know this audience, don't you? So it didn't take long for it to get to the topic of mooning. You know, when you drive by in the car, you moon somebody when you drive by. And, you know, there were a couple of times when, I got to tell you, I was mooned by girls, and that was awesome. And I will tell you this one time, I'm not going to name the school, because I'm really not sure what the school was. But it was a high school, and I was behind the bus in my black Corvette, mid-80s, and a lot of teenagers listened to the show. In fact, some of you were teenagers then, but you're grown up now. I got mooned by some girls in the bus. Oh, my God, how horrible that was. I thought, man, you know what? If somebody recognizes you in a situation like that and the girls are going to moon you, I don't know. It somehow you feel like you've kind of made it in life. All right, we're about to wrap up the show here. And I hope whatever your plans are, I hope that you expect this to be a good night. And, you know, again, we don't have the storm to worry about like we did last weekend. So it's going to be hot. Plan your activities around the heat, but enjoy the weekend. We'll be back to wrap up the show coming up on WWL. Oh, when I hear this, it means the show's over and it's the beginning of my weekend. Join me on Facebook, SOTA, Scoot on the Air. Never know what's going to show up there from the weekend. And I'm getting a text like this one telling me what time the moon landing was. For some reason, I thought it was in the middle of the night. But, you know, I was kind of young, so maybe I felt like it was the middle of the night. Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon at 9:56 p.m. New Orleans time. And I was in Gulfport, so it would have been that time. Here's a text that says, I saw Alan Shepard on a late-night talk show years ago, and the host asked how nervous he was. He said, I was the first man ever to do space travel. Yeah, I was the first man in space. I was the first man ever to do space travel, and I was in a rocket built by the lowest bidder on a government contract. Wow. I hadn't really thought of it that way. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Hebert, guest host Seth Dunlap. Rookies have reported to the Saints training camp, and you know what that means. We're not far away from training camp, and you know what that means. We're not far away from the preseason, and that means we're not far away from the season. So, yeah, Super Bowl ends. You think it's never going to come, and, yes, it's about to happen again. Hey, have a great weekend. Be safe this weekend, and, you know, don't drink and drive. You know, people who get caught and get in trouble for drinking and driving, they never thought they would get caught. So, you know, don't be stupid. There's Uber, there's Lyft, there's taxi cabs. I mean, there's so many ways to avoid it. But, yeah, I would love for you to join me on Facebook, SOTA. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manessis, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. And thank you for being part of the show. We are back Monday. Have a great weekend. Love you, New Orleans.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.